Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, where we celebrate the joy in just being you. I'm Natasha, your certified sex and intimacy coach and clinical sexologist. Just call me your guide to unlocking pleasure. With years of experience in helping individuals embrace pleasure beyond sex, I'm here to empower you to rediscover the beauty of pleasure in every aspect of life. So settle in, relax, and get ready to savor the wisdom and insights we're about to drop. This is your space to be present, learn, and enjoy the show. Hey, 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 and welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I'm so excited to have you here, as always. And this month brings special episodes because this will be dropping the Friday before Mother's Day. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about moms, being a mom, how you engage with your mom, things of that nature. However, this particular episode, I am going to be vulnerable and transparent and share some wisdomhood from motherhood, we could call it. But I just want to share some things that I've learned along the way. I have been mom a whole 17 years, go me. And I just want to talk about how I have been able to maintain my individuality, things that I have learned about raising a tiny human that is becoming a big human, and just all the things that go through my mind. So we're going to talk about it. However, before we get there, I want to invite you to indulge in your truest passions at the Cocoa and Champagne Circle. It is a judgment-free sisterhood circle that I created to help Black women focus on desire, not just status. You know how many times we go to an event and it's always, well, what do you do? And let's talk about money and let's talk about business. And while those are part of some of our conversations, they are not the main focus of the conversation. So what I would like for you to do is go ahead and secure your spot for this month by going to the link in the show notes and go ahead and come hang out, talk about your pleasures, talk about your desires, connect, and we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have a good time. So there are, y'all know, three is my favorite number. First of all, let me welcome you correctly to my OGs that have been rocking with me from the very beginning. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I need one of them buttons that goes burr, 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 burr. That's like my favorite sound. Burr, 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 burr. That is what I'm giving to you, to my OGs, okay? And if you are new here, I'm so happy to have you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for taking these gems. And I hope that in these last 70-something episodes, you have been able to grab things that are tangible, that are doable for you to own your pleasure, like today, not tomorrow, but today. Okay, so let's get into this. I'm not gonna keep this long, okay? Because I can ramble when it comes to this. So y'all know my favorite number is three. So we're gonna stick to three things that I have learned in my journey in motherhood. So one, I have never really been the one to believe that I, as a person, fade into the background because I had kids. Now, I had my first son at 20. I had my second son at the cusp of 30, the cusp of 20 and the cusp of 30. And I never felt like I did not exist anymore, if that makes sense. The only time I felt like I didn't exist is, you know, after you have the baby, like when you're pregnant, everyone's all in your face. Oh, let me do this for you. Oh, this and the other. And then all of a sudden the baby's here and they no longer care about you. That's the only time. But I definitely took advantage of the support and the help. But there was never a point where I decided that being a mother was all that I was going to be. And no, this is not to judge or shame anyone that feels that way. However, what I have found is I have a lot of moms that come into my practice. I have a lot of moms that come into my DMs, that come into my Facebook group, that are saying, I spent all of these years just in my kids and I know nothing about myself. And kids, it's a while before they're gone. right? Like now they're staying longer. It used to be 17, 18. I left at 17 to go to college. But I was still like, hey, I need some help. I need some support even now. So could you imagine if you decided that all I'm going to be, all I am going to carry myself as and hold the role as is a mom? You get lost in that mix. And that is something that I'm really proud of. I didn't get lost in that label. I still knew that I was Natasha. I still knew that I was a woman, an individual, and that I had a life outside of, being a mom. There were other things that would come up, but that was something that I never struggled with. So I never had to come out of it. And I get compliments, especially from those in my family, of just looking at me and saying, you really take care of yourself. You really put yourself first. And I'll never forget, it was a group of us. We went to Jamaica. Yes, I think that's when it was happening. And we were in line and my mom was there and she said, I love this. She said, look at all of these women here. Like they're probably moms and stuff like that. And they're here having a good time and living their life. And I absolutely love to see that because my mom, she was one of those ones, she was about us. She was about the kids. And she didn't really, nothing else was really important to her. It was us taking care of family. And I knew that that wouldn't work for me because I'm out here trying to live my best life too. And I want you to know that you can do both. It doesn't have to be either or. It can be both and. You can be an amazing mom and also be an amazing woman, individual out here living your best life. Okay? Think about your relationships. For those of you that have kids and you're in a relationship and you've like thrown your whole life into being a mom, what happens to your relationship? What happens to fostering that and getting to know that person? Because just like you've become a mom, they've become a parent too. So they've changed. And have you taken the time to get to know who they are throughout this journey? Do you all still like each other? Man, children can really put a strain on your relationship. It really can. And if you are not being intentional about checking in and prioritizing the health of your relationship, it can dwindle. As soon as those kids leave, you realize it has been 20 something years. I don't know you. I'm not even sure I like you because I don't know who you are, which makes perfect sense, right? Like you can run a business with someone and not really take the time to get to know them. So you can pay the bills. You can make sure that the house is standing. You can do the family trips and raising the kids. That to me is similar to running a business. It's a well-oiled machine. But when it comes to it's just the two of us and we have to have a conversation and we need to be intimate, I don't know you like that. I don't know you like that. So what we finna do? And by then it's the awkward stage and people don't want to deal with the awkward state. So you don't know yourself, you don't know your partner, you don't know what life is without being a mom. So take into consideration, you are still a person. You are still you. You may be a different version of you, but you're still you. You still have your first name, honey. Okay. I know you may hear mom, 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 mom a lot, but you still go by that first name. So that was one thing that, I take from motherhood too. Toxic is toxic. Doesn't matter where it comes from. And some may find this controversial. Some may say, oh my gosh, yes, I completely understand. And some may say, what are you talking about? Now, what I do know is this stage, a lot of people have gone through this stage, and I hear a lot of moms saying, just keep pushing through, just keep pushing through. It's gonna work out, it's gonna work out. But dealing with my 17-year-old, it has been, Lord, it's been a journey. It has been a journey because you go through certain things, and I don't even know if how I'm saying this is going to make sense, but I feel like the moms that will get it. We'll get it. So you have this little person becoming a big person that has really big thoughts and just feels like they know the right direction. And no matter how many times you tell them that that direction is a cliff, and if you keep going in that direction, you will fall off the cliff. And there's a sign right there that says, do not go in this direction. It's a cliff. But this little person becoming a big person keeps saying, oh, but no. We can't go this way. We can't go this way. Because my friend told me we can go this way. And we can go this way. I know we can go this way. And you're like, no, we can't. We can't go that way. And then all of a sudden, they want to lose their shit. That's the nicest way to say it. Because you're trying to protect them, because you're trying to open their eyes to the fact that you are in danger. And they so badly want to be right, and they so badly want to argue you down because they want to go off this cliff. Okay, so at some point, I, as a mother, had to really choose me and make decisions that were about my health, my mindset, and how I was going to be able to continue to show up in my life. The arguing and the moodiness and the, I'm not even going to say here that the gaslighting. There are so many moments where I'm just like listening to my child say something. I'm like, are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? Like, if you were a normal person in the street, I would just keep walking because who you are choosing to be, because you are trying to prove a point or you just so badly want to go off of that cliff, at some point, with a lot of support and a lot of therapy on both parts, you let them walk to the cliff. You just let them walk to the cliff. And that, I think that has been something that I have learned a lot in the past 2, 3 years. Dealing with a little person becoming a big person is, yes, I am a mother. Yes, I am a mother. However, just like in wisdom number one, I am a person. And there's only so much beating up that a person can take, no matter who it's from. We're not even considering that life is still life, right? But when you are constantly getting the 1, 2, 3, not physically, but 1, 2, 3 energy-wise, energetically, from someone, no matter who it is, you take that hit, right? And as moms, we try to take that hit and take that hit and take that hit and take that hit, and eventually Frazier's down. And you have to work yourself back up to getting back in there. And that is something that I realized for myself. I have to take care of me first. As much as I love you and I want the best for you, and I won't say that I will run out all my resources, but I will be dang close to running out all my resources for you. At some point, I have to take care of me, and I have to do what's necessary for the both of us. Because I'm a person, and there are just certain things as moms we don't deserve to go through. You do not deserve to go through. So, I don't know if that made sense to you, but I really feel like those that get it, y'all will get it. Y'all will get it because it's hard. It's like when on one side of your brain, it's like, gosh, this is my child. But on the other side of your brain, it's like, but this is a person. This is a person treating another person really not great. Really not great. Someone that you need everything from me, right? Like, you will need something from me before I will need something from you. And so to take the verbal daggers, because the one that you love the most is the one that you want to go after the most, because you want to prove your point, because you want to go to that cliff, because you want to prove it's not a cliff, even though everyone knows it's a cliff. And the mom is usually like the last one standing, right? Like, it's like, pew, 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 pew. Everybody's like, oh no, you got this. You had this, this too much for me. And it's usually the mom, it's us, the last one standing, that's like, I can continue to take the shots. I can continue to take the shots. And it's like, you get knocked down and you get back up. I can continue to take the shots. And then one day you get hit with those last few shots and you can't get up. And so you have to make the decision to put yourself in a place of healing. And you know that a lot of it's not their fault. There are so many other influences on these children. They just have access to so much. And I mean, I had access to stuff, but not as much as the kids have these days. And they're so different. I'm sure every generation says, oh my God, these kids these years, they're so different. No, it's so different. It's so different. And at the end of the day, I have to do what is best for me so that I can show up the best version of me that I can while being a mom. And taking hit after hit after hit just ain't gonna do it. So that's where, you know, you tap into the village. That's where you make decisions that they may not like. That's where, you know, they deal with the consequences of their actions and get them the support that they need to be able to handle the consequences of their decisions. And it is not easy. I am here to say it is not easy, but it's necessary. And I just pray that all these women that have told me when they get older, they will understand and they will say, thank you. I hope that's the truth. And if you are someone that says that, I hope that you are telling the truth. I pray that you are telling the truth. So that's two. So one is, own your identity outside of a mom. Two is, we can only take so many hits as a person. Okay, we can only take so many hits. And what would be my third wisdom? Maybe I just have two. No, okay. So my third one is, cherish the moments. I know that may sound really cliche, but I look at my children's faces and I see, so one is 17 and one is about to be 8. And I look in their faces and I see their faces changing moment by moment by moment. And while a lot of the decisions that I make business-wise and financially is, I ain't gonna sit here and lie, it's for me. Because there's a lot of things out here I don't want to do. It's people I don't want to deal with. And I just want to do what I want to do. Like, that's just it. I want the freedom and the space to do what I want to do. But there's also a part of it that I want to give my children this experiences that I had as a child and more. And I watch their faces, and every day their faces grow older and older and older. And the little one, he's getting this feisty, prepubescent little mood. And you just watch the baby disappear. You know, there's like this moment where, like, from the moment they're born till about 6, 7, they still have like their babiness. They're still the babiness. But then you watch, and every day that you look at them, they change. Every day you look at them and their face has gotten a little older. They don't look like you as much, or they've gotten longer. My little one, I realized how long he was till he started playing baseball. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's getting so tall. He's getting, even though he's always like, Mom, I'm getting as tall as you. But cherish the moments, because it goes by really, really fast. And I know I will miss them being small. I miss them being small. I love the baby stage. I love smelling their necks and their little baby scrunches and like all of the baby phase. Not the sleeping, but you know, everything else. I love the baby stage. But I can also be very, very honest and say I'm excited for them being self-efficient, self-sufficient, one or the other, y'all know what I mean. I'm excited for that. I really, really, scared-sided. The world is what the world is. But I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that new phase of me, of what it looks like to be a mom in that phase, and how I can show up for them, and how our relationship can grow, and you know, the things that I can help them experience in the world, just because I decided to do things a little different for them. So that's exciting for me. I said that on TikTok once, that I'm looking forward to, I guess, the empty nester stage, and maybe one of the followers, or I don't know if she was a follower or someone that just saw it, because my stuff is public, but in all caps, she was like, "You're gonna miss them when they're gone," because I assume that all caps is someone yelling at me. "You're gonna miss them when they're gone. You need to love on them now." And I did a video. I was like, I don't know if you were yelling at me or not, but like, I know I will miss them. I'm very well aware that I will miss them and I will miss all of it. But I also know that it's going to be an amazing time for me, because I will get to know me in a different capacity. They will get to know me in a different capacity. And it's just, it's a journey. It's a journey, and I'm excited for that journey of being a mom, but it's not here yet. So I was just making a statement, but it's not here yet. And motherhood is ghetto. Motherhood is ghetto, but it's thankless. Who is it thankless? But I love it. I really do. I love it. And I really love that we get to grow together, in a sense of we all get to decide and figure out who we're becoming along the way, and that they get to watch me choose me. And so whenever they go out and they find partners, they'll want someone who chooses them just as much as they choose other people. That is what I'm hoping that they get from me. Like, my mom, you know, she does self-care, she takes naps, she takes time off, she explores, I watch her frolic and play and laugh. And that's my hope for them, is that they spread that into the world of taking care of self first and allowing their partners to take care of themselves first, even if, you know, they come into motherhood or whatever direction that they choose to go, that they choose themselves first and allow other people to choose them first, because that's how they have the capacity for everyone else. That's how we have the capacity to be what we want to be to the people that we want to be to them, is choosing us first, putting our oxygen mask on first. So that was just a little glimpse into my life as a mom. I hope you enjoyed it. I would really, really love for you to drop some comments. Come see me in my email, in my DMs, hello@chantelandco.com, or Natasha and Chantel over on Facebook, or, you know, come hang out with me in all the social media lands and let me know how you're feeling in this season about being a mom. What are some things that you feel like you are needing? What are some things that you're feeling like you need to share as we go into this Mother Day season? Maybe some advice that you want to give other people. Maybe you need to be loved on because you're an angel daughter, okay? So definitely do that. And I just want to thank you all for listening. And now, if there's any tips or things in today's episode that you feel like you're ready to take action on or implement into your life, take these ideas, these tips, these gems, and make them a reality, okay? Prioritize your pleasure because you are deserving. Please rate, review, and share so that more women can discover this community. I appreciate you being on this journey, as always, with me to greater satisfaction as a Black woman. Until next time, bye. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. And I hope today's conversation has inspired you to embrace pleasure in all aspects of your life. Remember, your voice matters in this journey. Share your thoughts and experiences by leaving a review and stay connected with our community by joining our email list. The link is in the show notes. Together, we're redefining what it means to savor life and celebrate the joy in just being you. Until next time, keep prioritizing your pleasure because you are deserving. Take care and stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Bye.